My name is Nicole Pucci, and you're listening to Ralph Pucci, the podcast. We'll be back each week this season with a conversation with legendary artists, designers, and creatives. Our next couple of episodes will follow a little bit of a different format. I'm coming to you from our LA space, and Ralph won't be on these. Don't worry, he'll be back once we're recording again in New York. I'm thrilled to introduce you to some of our West Coast-based designers. Today's episode is a special one. I'll be chatting with John Wigmore. He's been a longtime Pucci collaborator, and he designs extraordinarily beautiful lighting and ceramics. In this conversation, we discuss how he got started, how being in LA changed his work, and more. I hope you enjoy today's conversation. John, hello. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I am great. So, John, you have had a really interesting career, and it's spanned a couple of decades now. Tell us a little bit, how did this all get started?
Basically, I finished school at UC Santa Cruz, and I left about a week after I graduated and came to New York City and arrived not knowing anyone, maybe my friend's brother, and stay with him a couple days. But kind of found my way through Village Voice and got a place. I made the first light sculpture within a week of being in New York City. And it just kind of was a culmination of a lot of different ideas at the time that I was working on, that I had been working on through school. And so, you know, I had a deep interest in James Turrell at the time. That was about 1993. And Robert Irwin and the whole light and space movement in Los Angeles. A focus on natural materials like paper. My teacher at the time was Zarina Hashmi, and she did a lot of paper casting. And so I was really wanted to make something that had a minimal feel, that had atmosphere, and used natural materials. And that's kind of how I came to the first piece.
And going back even further, so did you grow up in California?
I did. I grew up in West LA, Santa Monica area.
Okay.
And grew up around the beach and the ocean. And so I think a lot of the main motifs I use is the horizon line and kind of very simple forms. And it was kind of very natural, you know, to look at the minimalist artists and kind of have an affinity with them.
Absolutely. And at what age did you realize you were fascinated by lighting and you wanted to be a designer?
Well, I think after this first piece that I made when I first arrived to New York, I realized it really had something. And I continued making them. And the first pieces were very fragile. They were just a Japanese paper hanging from balsa wood with, you know, maybe one bulb behind it. And it just had a very serene lightness to the pieces. I was looking at a lot of Eva Hess at the time and the way she used cords, and I used that as the electrical cords. And but it wasn't until like probably 5 years later, after I had developed the work for a while and had a studio where I built out different rooms and apartments and stuff like that, that I started to get my first commissions in design. And I had always thought that this was more fine art sculpture, but people wanted to start to work the pieces into their homes and have that atmosphere kind of architecturally planned and built into the spaces.
And during that 5 years, so you were designing these different pieces, creating these fine art sculptures, what were you doing to support yourself? Were you selling those pieces that you were?
I think I started selling my pieces probably 2 years after I started making them. And, you know, everything was relatively inexpensive at the time. I was living in Brooklyn and Williamsburg in the mid-90s, and, you know, the lofts were $1,000. And I did, like, scenic painting. I did a lot of interior house painting, faux painting with, like, sponges. I did whatever was available at the time, you know, just to keep things moving. But I think things happened pretty quickly for me in looking back. And that's kind of why I went into design also, because it was all commission based and I was able to start making a living, you know, by the time I was like 26 or 27.
That's really impressive. Yeah. And what were some of your first commissions? What was the work like then?
Some of the first commissions were But I had this studio in Williamsburg, and it was two old apartments put together. So there were a lot of small rooms, and I would build out each room into a full-scale installation with one piece in each room. And so there would be this environment so you could walk through the studio and have maybe four or five different environments. And I had an open studio and an architect working for Peter Jennings, the ABC newscaster at the time, came through, and they loved the work and had me do his whole apartment.
Oh, wow.
And so that was my first big kind of project. And then he was very supportive of my work, and he asked me to design his benefit party in Bridgehampton that year. And then I did a bar restaurant called Moomba at the time, which was very A-list place. And, you know, they loved the work and were very supportive, and I got a lot of references from there and some press and so forth. So it started moving pretty quickly by the time I was like 28 or 29.
That's really impressive. Yeah. And so your work definitely has had consistencies over time. How would you say it's evolved, though?
I think in the beginning, the pieces were very fragile and kind of rough. You know, I didn't know anything about lighting or how to really install anything. And so over time, I feel like just learning the craft of what you're doing and how to make it better and better enables you to have more freedom to make bigger things and scale up and to really kind of come into a space and understand that anything is possible, you know, when you're able to understand the craft of what you're making. And I think that, you know, that's kind of a technical aspect, but in a sense, you know, you're walking into a room and you're trying to create something that's really comfortable. It's going to be, you know, beautiful and just something that people can really exist with. You're trying to redefine that experience continuously and with different materials or adding different things to the paper or just really trying to reinvent yourself to kind of recreate that effect.
And you've worked with a bunch of different materials. So you started off doing mostly paper, right?
Yeah.
And you're doing ceramic now. How did that shift? How did that happen?
I think the studio was a little slow for a month or two. And I'd always just admired ceramics and simplicity of it and kind of the earthy quality of these objects, you know. And so I just wanted to go into I went to a communal ceramic studio and started making some bowls and for some things around my house, and just fell in love with working with the clay to the point where I ended up, I think I spent 3 months at the studio, you know, 8 hours a day. I would open it and close it every day.
Cool.
I didn't think they got tired of me. I started in a great studio out in Pomona, which is about an hour east, and there's a long history in that area in Claremont, Pomona, of ceramics, and they have a great museum out there called Amoca, American Museum of Ceramics. And I started there, and there's just a huge space there. It's like 20,000 square feet. And I just kind of learned everything through osmosis. I didn't really take any classes. And I just went on YouTube and just really dug into it. And I got my own kiln. And that's when I started to look into, like, you know, table lamp design and realize, like, oh, wow, you know, there's room here to do something new and to create something that's different from what's on the market, made something that's like one-off, handmade type of thing. So it started from there. And now, you know, as I move through it quickly, it's you start to see a lot of different things I can make, you know, objects or more lighting or sculpture out of it. So it's a lot of fun to get back into something and feel inspired.
Yeah. So what is inspiring you today?
Well, I think initially, you know, it's always been this thing that's been born out of the ocean or landscape. And I think I still have an affinity for that, like trying to create a calm feeling in the work, in the room, in the environment when I, you know, install something. But also, I think for many years, I kind of struggled with the idea of these pieces. Are they sculpture? Are they design? You know, do I shoot more for the art world and try and find a context within that? Or is this in design and how do I reconcile this? And so I think lately I've been thinking more of that as an advantage and trying to work within the idea of design and bringing more the sculptural elements, which are my advantages, to design. You know, I'm really trying to focus on that gap between design and art instead of being confused or trying to figure out how I fit within the two worlds. And so I feel like with the table lamps, you know, there's an expressiveness to them. There's something that's working with kind of a real creativity that I'm able to bring back into design.
That's really cool. And that flexibility, I think, is so important to be mm-hmm. able to walk the line between the two distinct mm-hmm. worlds.
It's been a lot of fun.
You started your career in New York, mm-hmm. and eventually you made your way out here to California. How did that transition happen?
I was in New York for almost 15 years, and you know, I grew up out here, and my family and my father are out here, so I just decided, you know, I wasn't going to be a New Yorker for life. But I think work-wise, or as far as the lighting pieces are concerned, that there's a certain limitation to working in New York because the apartments are so small, and you are done, you know, a zillion dining room pieces and sconces and so forth. And my work, I feel like, can exist on a very large scale and is probably strongest at that scale. And so for me, coming out here, the spaces seemed bigger, a little more challenging, the projects were bigger, and there's just more space to work with, you know, and it just seemed natural to me to come back here and start almost what felt like from scratch. And I had a new fabricator, but I realized we were able to do things that we were never able to do in New York.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So being in a physically different location changed your work pretty dramatically, it seems.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
Especially in terms of scale.
Yeah, I had a lot more space, like studio-wise, and I had a really masterful technician working with me that kind of enabled me the confidence to go into any meeting and say, look, we can do anything you want, you know what I mean? And I never had that in New York. I never had that kind of support, too. Mm. So combined with that and the different size spaces in Los Angeles and California, it just opened up a lot more opportunity for me.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And your studio, it's based here in California?
Yes, I'm in downtown Los Angeles, and I've been there about 5 years, and I was working in the Ontario Inland Empire for a long time. That's where all my fabrication is still.
Okay.
And so I'm out there quite a bit. I kind of jump back and forth between the two. But I really enjoy being downtown, and you know, it's a full mix, and it's kind of interesting and fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite places in downtown LA?
Let's see. You know, there's a couple small restaurants like taco shops, and I like being near, the MoCA Museum and being able to walk over to Japantown, and, you know, there's a lot going on. I live in Echo Park, so it's about a couple miles away, too, so it's easy to get back and forth.
Don't have to deal with the LA traffic.
Yeah, and we're in a good building with a lot of other artists, and so it's really a lot of fun to go and check in on them and see what they're doing. It's always inspiring.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, so what's next for you? What do you have planned for the future?
Well, I'm really excited about my next show here in Los Angeles with Ralph. And we'll be working on the second floor in the showroom. And I think it's a great opportunity to combine the ceramics and the lighting in one space with new lighting work that will be more on the sculptural creative side, along with a lot of the table lamps that I've done. And I'm going to start to add in more objects and do some side tables and kind of expand on the ceramics. I have a new kiln that's much larger, so I've been able to kind of see things in a, you know, the scale up on the ceramics. I'm going to do a big ceramic wall sculpture with light.
Wow.
So there's a lot going on. It'd be really fun to see it in a contained environment and kind of, you know, really give it a feel and a sensibility of my work.
How did the idea come to do these side tables? I mean, you've been primarily focused on lighting, right?
Yeah. You just get your hands in the material and you start to think about what's possible and how you're going to make it your own, I feel like. And, you know, once you get to that place, you realize there's some value to it. Even if there's a million other side tables out there, you start to see what's going to be different about your pieces or how you're going to make them and execute them. And the colors or the shape, it's going to be different from what other people do, you know. And I think that there's some things that work in that regard and other things that don't. But I see these tables and it's like, these really work, you know, and so why not kind of go into something that's more object-based without lighting if you have a strong feeling about it. And it all comes down to making things and seeing, you know, what's going to work in a space combined with the light. And I think it'd be really beautiful.
It's really cool. So It's clear that you're an incredibly creative person. You're always trying to evolve, see what's next. How do you structure your time so that you're able to live really creatively?
I'm generally like up pretty early and at the studio probably by 7:30 or so in the morning, and I have a few hours before, you know, anyone else arrives at the studio to really just have time to myself to make things before I start responding to email. It kind of grounds me for the day. And then I kind of run around for about 4 or 5 hours looking at how things are being made or fabrication or dealing with drawings or whatever, and then come back probably from like 4 to 7 or so, or 6, and have 2 or 3 more hours kind of by myself making things, especially with the clay, because things happen so quickly that you don't need to plan it out. You don't need a fabricator, and it's all in my power to make things, which is the most fun thing about it. It feels very spontaneous. And then, you know, generally I love to like exercise or do something just to regenerate, but that's pretty much a normal day for me. I mean, I can make things till I drop, you know, till midnight. And sometimes I go home and work another 3 hours, but it doesn't feel like work to me. It's just like what I do every day, you know, and I know other artists that are like that too, so it makes me feel better.
That's been a super consistent thread in all of our conversations. Everyone is like, it doesn't really feel like work. I'm doing what I love all day. So sometimes I'll work 12 or 15 hours a day, and it's just like...
I know other artists that work actually more than I do, and it's such a relief.
that's a super long day.
You're crazy.
Love that. You've been showing with Pucci for a while now. How did you and Ralph originally collaborate?
You know, it was probably around 1999 or 2000 that we met, and it was basically being shown different New York City showrooms by someone. I can't for the life of me remember who that was, but I met Ralph and we hit it off immediately. I think we share just this certain minimal aesthetic and how things work and this kind of cleanness about things, and we've kind of always agreed on, you know, how things should look in a space, the layout of a space, and so forth. But he came to my studio in Brooklyn, in Fort Greene, probably around 2000 or 2001, and then we arranged my first show in 2001, and it, you know, happened to be right at 9/11, and so it was probably 10 days after 9/11, and I think it was the first time people came out, you know, from the event, and I remember it being pretty somber, but it was a strange way to start, but that's when we started, right after 9/11.
And you've continued to collaborate.
Yeah, I mean, I love working with Ralph. I think he just really believes in his artists, and allows them to really kind of find their own creativity and trajectory and doesn't interfere whatsoever, and just genuinely is excited to see new work and you testing your own boundaries or the boundaries of design. And, you know, I think it shows with the showroom his excitement and honestness with how much he loves what he's doing, you know.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of really interesting projects. Tell us about some of your favorites.
I did a project for a United Talent Agency in Beverly Hills, and is a, you know, glass building in Beverly Hills, and they have a conference room on 2 levels, and we made a piece that was 30 feet high by 3 feet wide.
Oh my gosh.
kind of bisected the two levels and looked like one piece from the outside. So it looks like this gigantic monolith. And I think I went into the project just saying, oh, no problem, you know, we'll just do this in 2 months. And I realized the scale of it. And it was a challenge, but it came together really nicely and looks really good. And then I was invited to show at the World Expo in Japan in 2005. And that was a lot of fun at the US Pavilion, and did a large sculpture there and got to see all the other pavilions and spent 3 weeks in Japan. That was
very
fun.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Are you inspired by Japanese aesthetic and design at all?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I love everything. I was telling a friend, I just watch old Japanese, you know, movies to see those tea rooms where they have all the screens and
so
how
beautiful.
All those are divided. But yeah, I just love everything, you know, aesthetically about that culture, and from the tea bowls and, you know, their ceramics to all the paper making and different types of paper. And so there's just, you know, so much tradition there that is really usable in a cool way and redefine it.
Japan's an amazing country. Tell us about your dream project. What would that entail?
Well, I'm pretty happy about this show coming up. I feel like having a specific space to show in is really a great opportunity. And to combine the lighting and the ceramics in one place will be a lot of fun. But I guess my ultimate dream project would be to kind of create a house or a studio similar to the Noguchi Museum or Donald Judd Building on Spring Street, where I work with an architect who's very conscious of light and space, and work in my sculptures in that type of architecture to create like a works, beautiful workspace or something to the effect where you're combining natural and the light sculptures that I do. I think it would be a lot of fun to develop something like that.
Yeah, that would be beautiful. I hope that happens. I'd love to visit.
Yeah.
So you seem to have had a pretty quick entry into the design world, and you were able to support yourself relatively soon after you moved to New York, but it's a tough industry to break into. So what advice would you have for someone who's just trying to enter the field?
I would say that, you know, it's just a real gift to make things, and that you're going to want to have your own passion for it, you know, and that even as you get older or success, or whatever, there's always a part of it that's difficult, you know, and I think you need to make a real commitment that you're going to do this, you know, and that's a huge deal. You know, there's a lot that comes with that type of commitment. But once you make things and go through all the struggles, I think down the road, you see a real clarity with what you're doing and your direction, and it means a lot, you know, once you start to get some success and things work, it's really a great experience, you know, and I think you have to kind of commit fully to get through that hard part of making your few things or having your first few shows and getting attention. It takes a lot of time and effort, you know.
Yeah. What would you say are some of the major lessons you've learned over the last, you know, 20 years or so?
I think overall is just not to rush things. I think that all of us get so impatient, and you may have a deadline or working for an antsy client, but ultimately, when you do things with intention and time and creativity, that you have to allow yourself that time to make something really great. And if you rush through things or try and just get it done, that ultimately you always come back to that initial idea, because you're going to have to remake it. Someone's not going to be happy. But if you're able to just kind of put your feet on the ground and to really just piece things together in the way that you know how, that generally the client and you will be very happy with what's the final product is. But yeah, I think that's, for me, that's always been the biggest struggle, is to slow down, you know, and make things that you really like and really count, you know.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I was chatting with some of the Pucci staff earlier today, and they mentioned that you do an incredible job of working with designers to mm-hmm. help create a product that people are going to truly love and that will fit into their home really beautifully. Mm-hmm. What is that collaboration like? I hear you do just such a fabulous job with it. So do you have any secrets?
I think that, you know, I've kind of did this on my own for a long time, and you realize, like, the beauty of my work is that it is architectural. It is, like, design-based. So it needs to fit the way the designer sees it fit in a space. And however they define that is a part of the collaboration between me and them, you know. And, yes, it's a pain to have to change the dimensions 20 times for basically a similar thing. And a lot of designers just want to, you know, manufacture them or do inventory of them. But I think the strength of my work is how they fit in a space and how the proportions are, how do they relate to the architecture of a room, what's appropriate, you know. And I really trust that the designers understand the space they're working in, so they tell me what they need from me to make that work. And so I think that once you kind of accept that's what I do is, and that is my kind of business, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's funny, you might make things that you disagree with that you think are terrible or awful, but you're trusting, you've been hired to do something, and then you go into the space afterwards or see photos of it and you're like, they were absolutely correct, you know, they did a great job, you know. So
yeah,
there's a lot of understanding that comes with just seeing a space, and maybe a lot of times I'm not able to, or understanding a client that I wouldn't have, you know. A designer has that perspective.
Absolutely. Oh, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So you've given us a lot to think about. Any final words of wisdom?
I would just say, you know, making things is a real gift, you know, that it can seem like a burden at times, but I think that, you know, as an artist, or that we're really lucky to do what we do and kind of bring life, you know, to an object, or, and to kind of hopefully take that out in the world with you, you know what I mean, and just enjoy what you do.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. John, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to our conversation with the incredibly talented John Wigmore. To learn more about John, you can visit our new website at www.ralphpucci.com. You can also visit John's site at johnwigmore.com. If you're interested, check out our Instagram at ralphpucciint or John's at johnwigmore. If you're not on our mailing list yet, be sure to sign up so you never miss out on our announcements and events. Thanks, and I look forward to sharing more soon.